Today's sermon text comes from Genesis, the first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, and chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. This is the story of what we sometimes call the fall, the origin of sin in our world. And the characters in this story, though they are not named yet in the story, they actually, especially the woman, gets her name later. We know them by their names Adam and Eve. But you won't hear those names actually read in the text yet because they're not there. But that's who we're talking about, Adam and Eve. Genesis 2 and 3. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord God, we give you thanks for this day when we can worship you here in this space. We give you thanks for this text, this passage, this teaching from Genesis that shows us where we have come from. Help us, Lord, to know ourselves in your presence and to understand who we are as a result of being your people. We thank you for your love and your forgiveness and how, as the song says, all of us lumps of coal are being more and more made into diamonds with every passing day. Help us, Lord, to reflect well together on this passage in Jesus' name. Amen. The temptation of Adam and Eve is not uncommon. Their temptation is very similar to what we experience today. Their temptation, our temptation, is to become like God. In every generation, in every age, people are tempted to gain power and wisdom and control over life, over nature, over everything that rightfully belongs to God. Just look around at our world today and how we live in it. Our approach to warfare in such an enlightened age. We are the only nation on earth to have used atomic weapons against other people. We have perfected the art of drone strikes that can rain fire from the sky with very little risk to our own people. We spend more as a nation on defense than any other nation, than any other 10 nations combined. Our approach to warfare is about victory, not about safety. Our approach to politics is about power and not about service. Our approach to economics is about control, not justice. Our approach to the environment is about manipulation for profit, not stewardship. Our approach to life itself, from abortion to the death penalty and everything in between, is about control and not reverence. In so many ways, we are tempted to become more like God, to play God in our world, the world that we consider to be our own. That temptation is really what Genesis 2 and 3 is about. Like every one of us, the man and the woman in the story fall to that temptation. And in their story, break the only prohibition that God had given them up to this point. Don't eat from this one tree. There was one thing. They had one job. Not to eat from that one tree that God told them not to eat from. Everything else was great. Life in the garden was peaceful, full of productive work, companionship. Everything was wonderful. All of the trees, Genesis 2 says, all of the trees were pleasing to the eye and good for food. But one tree was different. It was pleasing to the eye and good for food, but it was also good for wisdom. Wisdom belongs to God. Knowing right from wrong, good from evil, belongs to God. The temptation Adam and Eve faced was not just disobeying God, breaking a rule. The temptation that they faced was to grab something that belongs to God and to make it our own. We saw that the tree was good for wisdom, and we wanted to be wise like God, so we ate. And what's amazing is that it worked. It made us like God, or more like God. We often think of this story of the fall as something that was completely bad, totally evil, everything was just terrible in the story. But there's something to understand in the midst of this story that we often forget. The man and the woman actually do become more like God. They learn the difference between good and evil. Their eyes are opened. A little bit later on in Genesis 3, God says to himself in the mystery of Trinity, where he speaks in the plural, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. The man and woman now must leave the garden that God has given them, or else they might eat of the other tree that's listed, the tree of life, and really challenge God's unique authority and power. God allows people the freedom to choose. The freedom to choose life or death, obedience or disobedience, relationship with him or rejection of him. God offers this free choice to his people all throughout Scripture and indeed all throughout time. And like Adam and Eve, we can choose relationship with God, or we can choose to become gods for ourselves. This freedom is part and parcel of what it means to be made in God's image. But the freedom to choose can be misused to draw us away from God. God takes a big chance by giving us this freedom to choose whether or not to live in relationship with him, whether or not to love him. It's really a complicated thing that God does to give us this choice of whether or not to love him. In the beginning, the freedom to choose caused separation between God and the people whom God had made in his image. The story of Adam and Eve is an origin story, not simply of humanity's situation, but it's an origin story of God's situation. God's pursuit of humanity, God's story of seeking reconciliation with the people whom he loves. God's story begins with people grasping for wisdom and power and control on their own, apart from God. It's the same story in every generation. God's story begins with people trying and succeeding to take God's place in their own lives. God's story begins with this incredibly beautiful and complicated expression of God's love. Here's the opportunity to choose. That's how much I love you. Throughout this season of Lent, the season that precedes Easter, going from this Sunday until the Sunday before Easter, which is April 16th, of course, is Easter this year. I should know this. Lent goes between now and then. During this season of Lent, we're going to trace God's story from this beginning point in the Garden of Eden all the way to where the story reaches its climax, which is in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus is God's solution to the problem of our desire to play God. It's not just that Jesus died and rose from the dead. That's the climax of the story. But there's a lot of the story in between that we can learn from. Jesus, who is in very nature God, shows us how to live. Shows us how to live in alignment with God's purposes and God's reign over the universe. So along the way, during this season of Lent, we're going to learn from Jesus' life and his practices and his teachings as well. The story that we heard read from Matthew 4, so beautifully spoken, from Matthew 4, the temptation of Jesus, that temptation is exactly the same story as the temptation of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. It's the same story. Both stories feature God's firstborn children, the first people, and God's one and only begotten Son. Both stories show people living in an unusual place. Adam and Eve are in the Garden of Eden, where everything is provided for them and everything is beautiful. Jesus goes off into the wilderness, where everything is very different. It's a desert. It's a very barren kind of place. Both stories show the people being tempted by an external being, an external source of temptation. For Adam and Eve, the source of that temptation is a serpent. And sort of the traditional Christian interpretation is to connect that serpent with the devil, with Satan. Genesis itself doesn't actually do that. Actually, that can lead to a little bit of a problematic view of how good and evil function in the world. If we push it too far, we end up with a world in which God is on one side and Satan is on the other side, and they're locked in an eternal arm wrestling match to see who's going to be stronger. Is it God who's going to win or Satan who's going to win? Good versus evil is kind of the big narrative that is told in a lot of circles today. But the Bible's perspective, especially Genesis' perspective, is to say that the serpent, the tempter in Adam and Eve's story, is part of God's created order. It's one of the creatures that God has made. God is up here, describing the whole story. And within that story is this talking serpent, which is kind of odd. It's one of two places in the Bible where there's an animal that speaks. It's just kind of bizarre. And we wave our hands and say, of course. It's like Chronicles of Narnia, animals talk. We don't worry about it too much. It's a little strange. It's part of God's created order that tempts the people to disobey God. Anyway, it's an external source of temptation to the people. And in Jesus' temptation, he is tempted by what Matthew describes as the devil, or Jesus calls Satan. The evil one tempts Jesus in whatever way that appeared, whatever way that took place. Again, the emphasis is that the temptation was external to the individual being tempted. Both stories show that the people involved know God's instructions. They know what God wants for them to do. But there's one very significant difference between these two stories. While Adam and Eve choose to make themselves like God by grabbing for more wisdom. Jesus, who already is God, fully divine and fully human, Jesus turns away from his temptations to become more like God. The temptations that Satan laid out for him were to do things that God could do, to turn stone into bread, to call on angels for self-defense, to rule the kingdoms of the world. Those are things that only God has the right to do. Adam and Eve failed by grasping for power and wisdom and control on their own, apart from God. Jesus succeeded by letting go of power, wisdom, and control, by remaining connected to God. So as we draw closer to Holy Week, the week before Easter, and our remembrance of Jesus' death and resurrection, we will see just how radically Jesus embodies this process of letting go and of connecting with God. In this season of Lent, we need to become more aware of how we grasp for things that rightfully belong to God. We need to follow Jesus' example of letting go of control, of letting God be God, of pursuing connection with God. My challenge for you this week, as we begin this journey together, is to take one action this week in which you remind yourself that you are not God, but God is God. It could be an action in which you release control or you refuse to grasp for power or wisdom. It could be an action in which you deliberately obey God's word in some significant way. It could be an action in which you serve others and lift them up rather than lifting yourself up. For example, you could let go of your preference in an argument. You could pursue reconciliation instead. You could seek forgiveness from someone that you have wronged by admitting your wrongdoing. You could commit to serve God in your finances or your time or your energy or in your relationships. Or you could take a first step toward achieving one of the goals that you may have set for yourself for growing as a follower of Jesus in this year. Take one action, one step forward toward letting go and letting God be who God wants to be in your life. And then give thanks to God for that opportunity. Our temptation is the same in every generation. Our temptation is to become like God. Instead, we must actively remember who God is and who we are. Amen. Would you pray with me? O Lord our God, we give you thanks that you are God and that we are not. For surely our wisdom and our strength is not enough to rule the universe as you do. Give us humility, Lord, and wisdom to know our place in this world. And help us to know your will for our lives, that we might live faithfully as your disciples, respecting your creation and our place in it, so that we might give glory to you by how we live. Help us, Lord, to honor you in all of our days and to flee from temptation as Jesus did. Mold us more and more into his image. We give you thanks for your love, which draws us close to him. And we pray all of these things in the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior, and all of God's people said,